UK, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go, or at least we're going to try. It is 4 minutes past the hour, a couple minutes late, sort of getting things going because, well, we're in the middle of one of those now ubiquitous thunderstorms here on the 14th day of July, 2016. Yeah, it's storming again in Appalachia, and the rain is pounding, pelting, and pouring. The thunder is booming. The lightning is streaking, crackling. And so, necessarily, the internet is spotty. Apparently, this is just something, this is just a trend that's going across the country. It's sort of a continental monsoon or something like that. The Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, tells me that it has shitstormed in Kansas City every day this week. That's been about the way it seems like it's done nothing but rain since about the 20th of June. And after a while, given what we've had go on here, it gets a little nerve-wracking, shall we say. Yes. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And this is the horn, Thorn in the Side Thursday for the 14th day of July, 2016. Great heavenly days. Happy 26th, 27th wedding anniversary to my dear friends Bo and Pam. Wow. Yeah. Brother Deacon Asus is 3 minutes late. Madam Secretary would like to ask if Bob Kincaid is on CPT. Oh, don't go there. Don't go there, Asa. No, we're on TST, thunderstorm time. Because for some reason or another, when it rains, I don't know, I guess water gets in the series of tubes or something, and connectivity becomes an adventure. But we're here. You, me, us, our merry little band, our little community. And if you would like to make your horn experience even merrier and bandier, then run on over to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password and behave yourself. And jump right in where you will be met by Anatole and Hoghead and Jug of Punch and Jules and Little Gray and Trey and Will in Chicago, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, understands that the spice must flow, but that sometimes one does not fold space to become man cave when one's man cave is, in fact, a furnace. Yeah. This is a listener supported effort. I mention that only because I have to. Because that's how we keep all of this going. We try to raise $200 every evening. And thanks to everyone who responded to Tony in Tony's Chico challenge and Darlene's happy birthday challenge yesterday. All we got is our regular fundraising goal this evening. No hole to fill in. Just $200 to go. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50. 8 at 25, 16 at 12:50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, and 64 at $3.13, because we round up from the hay penny. Oh, goody. Well, there it is. Emergency alert, flash flood warning, this area till 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Avoid flood areas naturally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we've got plenty, because there always is, there's plenty to talk about. Can you hear the thunder? Or is the cardioid nature of this microphone doing a good job of covering that up? Because here inside my little headphones, it's kind of noisy. I mean, we had a blast a little bit ago that, I mean, it stood the little hairs up on the back of my neck and just about gave Agnes Viking Warrior Princess a straight up old fashioned home style conniption. Everything that I am seeing, of all the things I'm seeing, I'm not seeing buffering. So, oh, who knows? Maybe that's an adventure for another evening. So anyway, if you'd like to help out with fundraising, just run on over to headonradionetwork.com. Click on the contribute tab and fill in all the fields. Everything except the one about, you know, what you do and where you do it and why you do it and all of that. And just get to the next screen. That's where you do, you know, PayPal, credit cards, that kind of thing. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, and many people do, you can always send checks and money orders. We advise against cash. Some people like to send cash, and that's okay. But we advise checks and money orders made payable to the Horn. 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And you know, let me know if you're going to go that route, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne, and that way he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the truck and won't have to take anything with him save for maybe a bowling ball in a bag to swing in case he sees a member of the Klan going to pick up their mail. Yeah. Oh, I know, Brother Deacon Gerald said, don't get all uppity, Kincaid. We got the thunder and lightning down here in the KRV too. Well, does it make your interweb tubes behave as poorly as it does here? Yeah, I know. So that takes care of the whole fundraising thing, hopefully, and it'll just happen, and I won't have to talk about it anymore because I despise talking about it. What now? What? I guess we can talk about what is presumed to be the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini's pick for the vice presidency. Everybody else will have talked about it by now, so why not us? Yeah. Why not, indeed. Apparently, it's going to be helmet-haired Indiana Governor Mike Pence. The guy who enshrined hate by signing Indiana's gay hate law into effect, who lied into any number of television cameras saying that it wasn't about bigotry, that it wasn't about discrimination, when that's exactly what it was about. Yeah, Mike Pence is, there's a good one. Mike Pence is a right-wing monstrosity, an ideologue, a merchant of hate of the first order, And I guess he's going to be T-Rump's running mate. Apparently, according to Isaac, Mike Pence departed Mount Comfort Airport in Talibandiana at 4:10 p.m., heading to Teterboro Airport in New Jersey via a private jet. That would seem to indicate that maybe the reports are true. Mike Pence. I mean, apart from the fact that he's a, you know, a homophobic bigot. What else? Well, he's a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual. That kind of goes without saying. He also doesn't give a damn, much of a damn, about people with HIV. He has a history as a right-wing blatherer. He did right-wing hate on the airwaves for a while. It took him 65 days to respond to an HIV crisis in Scott County in Talibandiana. He has a long history of attacking Planned Parenthood, I guess because he doesn't like for women who can't afford health care to be able to get, you know, pap smears and mammograms and things like that, let alone have agency over the control of their own bodies. He is a, he is a creature of the Koch brothers. He's one of their little golems. Once upon a time, he was hailed as a new kind of Republican. There you go. That's pretty good. Robert in Morgantown noting, so what exactly is Mike Pence? Major Frank Burns in a suit. Precisely. That's very good. You tell him, Ferret Face. Yep, Mike Ferret Face Pence. And then I got to thinking about a slogan for them. Trump Pence None the Wiser. Huh? Wasn't there a band, some Tuppence None the Wiser, something like that? Trump Pence None the Wiser. One gets the idea that maybe the Koch brothers had a little hand in the choosing of Mike Pence, because they did at one point in time promise that they had $1 billion laying around they weren't doing anything with, that they would use to defeat Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Back when he was a member of Congress, before he became the governor of Talibandiana, he was one of those freaks that I saw on a number of occasions. There's a space on the east side of the Capitol. Where members of Congress like to go and do outdoor interview, photo op, presser kind of things. And any time there was a fetus to be fussed over, Mike Pence was right there. You could spot him from a mile away, as Warren Zevon said in Werewolves of London. His hair was perfect. Mm-hmm. So that's Mike Pence. Yay. Right? Oh, okay. The microphone is letting some of it through, I think. Robert in Australia says, I can hear the thunder loud and clear here in Sydney. Maybe it's calmed down a little bit. I hope it does, because I don't want to get knocked off the air this evening. But Thorn in the Side Thursday is reserved for those right-wing things that kind of make us, do that. And at one and the same time, you look at a guy like Mike Pence and you go, well, obviously he has the morals of an eel or perhaps a lamprey. Yeah, he's more like a lamprey, isn't he? Just attaching his suckers to the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini and going along for the ride. And see, this is where it gets dangerous to be in our little bubble. Because we look at a freak like Mike Pence, and we say to ourselves, how could anybody in their right mind vote for that ticket? And in so saying, we forget just exactly where we are. There's a chance that Mike Pence, who has a fetish for controlling uteruses, there's a chance that he will be a heartbeat away from the presidency. And if that doesn't give you a case of the turtle squirts, you ain't paying attention. As previously noted, Hillary and Trump are neck and neck, dead even, in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania. And this is absolutely a losable race for Hillary Clinton. And while I realize the Bernie or Busters are out there, please allow me to say that understanding that Jill Stein is not going to be elected president, nor is Gary Johnson, if Hillary Clinton loses this presidential election, we will all be the worse for it. And it is my considered opinion that there is a certain amount of privilege that attaches when people say, well, yeah, but I mean, Trump so awful, it'll bring people to their senses. They'll wake up. They'll finally do something. No, we won't. This is America. We don't do that sort of thing. It isn't done. And so, Just a gentle reminder. As Stephen Vermont points out, Hillary Clinton can lose it all just because she's Hillary Clinton. Watching Bernie endorse Hillary Clinton brought on a feeling of diminishment, not resignation, not acceptance, but a diminishment. Why? Bernie diminished himself by endorsing Hillary Clinton because Hillary Clinton does not appeal to our higher ideals or the progressive policy goals of democratic socialism, which are essentially the goals of the FDR New Deal. The New Deal was conceived to slow the erosion of the working and middle class into the permanent underclass. The Progressive Democratic Party platform, recently hammered out, is an ephemeral and superfluous document and may or may not be followed as a guideline by the candidate and is relatively meaningless. Bernie's endorsement amounted to echoing the lesser of two evils trope. Economic populism was a foreign concept to the HRC neoliberal mindset of austerity and rugged individualism for everyone except the privileged classes. So if HRC wins the presidency, the question becomes, which HRC will show up? The neoliberal corporate Democrat we know so well, or a politician that has evolved on the issues with the machine-like calculations and expediency and now has come to represent the needs of the people? Political courage, Steve continues, is in short supply, and HRC's run-in with the FBI is a case in point. It's a good thing that HRC was not indicted, because that would have been a major drag on her campaign. Imagine how long Bernie's campaign would have lasted if he'd been under investigation by the FBI. There are different standards of justice depending on how much power, wealth, and influence you have. What kind of paranoia fueled the desire to have an email server outside normal State Department channels? This was not convenience, but paranoia. So now the establishment Democrats have a candidate who escaped indictment but still appears to be guilty in the eyes of the public, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Democratic Party sorted out that prickly Sanders campaign using coercion, lies, and voter suppression. I thought only Republicans did that. Bernie's mission now is to take on the corrupt Democratic Party establishment and keep progressive ideas alive. Bernie's endorsement of HRC could very well be the stimulus that permanently shapes and forms a new progressive party. The Democratic Party has selected the weakest and most flawed candidate in generations, and the possibility of losing it to a hateful and crazy candidate like Trump is very real. The campaign between Hillary Clinton and Trump has become a rebranding contest, the contest of candidates that in a Bernie-Trump race would have been profound and clear. The reality that presents itself now is not so clear, and that, says Steve, is the problem. Well, I think Steve has encapsulated a number of issues that confront us. That part of our political being that desperately wants a pony sort of gags at the idea of voting for Hillary Clinton. That part of us that wants to reach the shining shores of a United States not hell-bent on constant warfare and in existence solely for the purposes of supporting and providing a life support system for the military-industrial complex. We yearn for a different America, a more humane America. An America where there is hope. And guess what? Not this time. Not now. No. She is what she is. And one of the things she is not Trump. And I reiterate what I have already said. Why did no one take why did so many people not take Bernie Sanders at his word? When he started the campaign, he said, "Look, I'm gonna run for the nomination. And if I don't win, I'm gonna support the Democratic nominee." Why are there so many people who thought? Because if you thought he was lying about that, I mean, do you understand? I mean, I'm trying to work this out in my own head. And for the life of me, I can't. I mean, I got nothing. I mean, I would love to have had Bernie as the nominee. But more people said they wanted Hillary Clinton. And it's pretty much that simple. Now, is it fair that the South got to basically give her a boost when the South can't do anything to help her be elected? No. No, it's not. But well, as the saying goes, it is what it is, and that's what it is. According to a note coming from Scott in San Diego, top 10 list guys who Mike Pence looks like. I couldn't find the video clip of David Letterman's top 10 list, Scott says, about Mike Pence and guys he looks like, but I've listed them here. 10, the guy at the bar who sends your girlfriend a drink. 9, the guy who makes his dog sleep outside. 8, the guy whose wife has to tell him he's getting a little loud. 7, the guy who greets a room full of guys with morning ladies. 6, the guy who has a little too much fun on audience get acquainted night. 5, the real estate agent whose photo is on a bus stop bench. 4, the guy who keeps a baseball bat in his trunk. 3, the guy who won 3 national championships as head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, Bobby Knight, who's also known for throwing a chair onto the court during a game. 2, the guy who arrives at his high school reunion in a rented Ferrari. And 1, the guy fishing in a Cialis commercial. Scott continues and says, my friends who live in the Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky region tell me that number 8 is very relevant, as like Trump, Pence is an uninformed loudmouth, so they should get along fine. 8, the guy whose wife has to tell him he's getting a little loud. I'm thinking that here's a probably mathematical model that illustrates the proportional relationship between their lack of factual accuracy and the volume level of their pronouncements. I'll see if I can work it out and send it once I find where I put my slide rule. Yeah. Brother Deacon Ace out in Vancouver suggesting, here's another possible slogan, Trump Pence 2016, you'll wish you'd voted Cruz. Or Trump Pence 2016 because Hillary. Steve from Georgistan, one of the members of the fraternity of Steve, says, show me a better option than Hillary, Bob. I'm all ears, man. Can't. There's no better option. What about Jill Stein? Well, I mean, if you want to vote for somebody who has no chance of winning whatsoever, you know, I guess go right ahead. Interesting that that in states where there has been polling on Trump versus Hillary, like Ohio and Pennsylvania, it's kind of head-to-head. But if you factor in Jill Stein, Trump wins easily. Hey, cool. But it's not my job to tell you who to vote for. I'm not that guy. I'm just sitting here talking about the way I feel about things. You feel free to feel about them your own way. And we'll wake up on what, November the 8th? We'll wake up on November the 8th and find out if the American people have decided to plunge a dagger into the hopes and dreams of 330 million people. Jim says Sanders' folly, had he used FDR Democrat instead of Democratic Socialism redolent to Lenin's Democratic Centralism, he would have fared much better, for real. That was my thinking. I would have done a whole lot more FDR campaigning. I think it would have maybe had some degree of resonance with the boomers, and that's where things didn't work out, was with the boomers. But now he's solidly in Hillary's camp, and I don't blame him for it, because why? Because Bernie Sanders does not want to see Donald J. Trump. My name is Donald J. Trump, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. He does not want to see Donald J. Trump be the president of the United States. And that's where it stands. That's the question. That's the question for everybody who walks into a voting booth in a state that matters. Okay? I mean, I continue with the caveat, if you live in any of the stand states, if you live in the Confederacy, it doesn't matter if you vote for either the sparkling unicorn pony, or Jill Stein, or if you write in Bernie. None of it matters, because Trump is running for the president of the Confederacy. That's what it boils down to. That's he wants this country to be far more like the Confederacy than like the Republic, the Constitutional Republic, as it is outlined in, you know, the Constitution. So if you live in Georgia Stan, or Louisiana Stan, or Talabama, or Mississippi Stan, or Tennistan, or Arkanstan, or Talibandiana, vote for Jill Stein. Go on, go ahead. Now, she's still going to come in probably in states like that with less than 5% of the vote. But go ahead, because it doesn't matter. I mean, I hate to say this to anybody, but given the political dynamics of the Confederacy states, you know, and Sister Carol Baker there in Hooterville, she's a political realist. She knows what Missouri's going to do. Missouri is going to Trump all over itself and then wait for the country to hand it a tissue. So, you know, if you're in one of those states, have a blast. Vote for your, you know, the vote for your moral, ethical purity. I think one of the most important things we could do right now would actually be to set up those voting exchanges, where people who live in states that matter can swap votes with progressives who live in states that don't. And so you can have your moral purity vote over in Talabama, where it can't do any harm to the rest of the country, and then you do the right thing in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, etc. I mean, if every progressive in Texas voted for Jill Stein, it still wouldn't be enough to win Texas. And even if they'd all voted for Hillary, it still wouldn't carry Texas for Hillary. But there's millions and millions and millions of progressives in Texas. Let them vote for Jill Stein. And then in states that matter, maybe we can save the nation from Donald Trump. That's just my thinking. Now, the angry Indian sending me a post that says, the people didn't choose Clinton, the DNC did. Well, yeah, I get that. The DNC was in the tank for Hillary. You know why the DNC was in the tank for Hillary? Because she's been working on this since 2008. Jesus God, she wants to be president. One gets the idea, it's all she's ever wanted to be. It is an ambition that burns in her with the white hot heat of an annealing fire. And that kind of ambition is sort of icky to contemplate. But consider the alternative. I mean, I know we're all frustrated. I'm frustrated. But are you frustrated enough that you want... I mean, Trump? Really? You're willing to let that happen? I don't know. Under the subject line, Bernie Socialist, Jack in Shreveport writes, I heard plenty of people on TV, including Democrats, saying that Bernie wasn't a real Democrat. In fact, he's more of a real Democrat, I think, than other Dems, with few exceptions. I wonder if Democrats would have helped push a Bernie as a Dem rather than a Democratic Socialist view, seeing as they probably wanted him labeled a loony socialist anyway. Well, and that's the impact that the Clintons have had on the Democratic Party. There was a conscious choice made, especially after the drubbing of Fritz Mondale in 1984, that if the Democratic Party wanted to be competitive, that they were going to have to put on the lipstick and go and wallow with Wall Street and the corporate sleaze merchants, or else be defeated forevermore. Yeah. Thank you, Jack. Thank you. So, you know, I welcome your thoughts on this later in the evening. You are absolutely welcome to share them. I don't see any way around this binary. I don't see where any good is to be had by voting for Jill Stein, because not enough people are willing to do that. You know, with a sense of what I perceive to be tremendous resignation, the angry Indian just told me, well, the world will be the same for me and people like me no matter who wins, either party. And that's probably true. Although, it should be noted, it might not be angry. If Hillary Clinton wins, the world might be the same. If T. Rump wins, the world might get a whole hell of a lot worse. A whole hell of a lot more interesting. I really cannot emphasize enough the meaning that attaches to a man who says that he wants to round up 11 million people in a pretty big country and then throw them out. They're going to have to be kept somewhere until the outthrowing can be done. That means camps. It means concentration camps. And then there are the Muslims who need to be checked on and observed and investigated to make sure their papers are in order. Mm-hmm. So, Angry Buddy, with all due respect, I don't think your world remains the same regardless of who wins. I think this world can get a whole lot worse. Worse even than many of us are capable of imagining. The kerfuffle against Ruth Bader Ginsburg that I mentioned last night is an indication of the direction this can go in. In the chat room, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Lottie says, Hillary is death by a thousand paper cuts. I want it over with quick. Well, but that's the problem. Trump won't, it won't be over with quick with Trump. It will be long, and it will be slow, and it will be painful, and it will be agonizing. Because he'll do things that the wild-eyed Republican radicals in the House and Senate have yearned to do for decades. Coming up on a century with regard to Social Security. Angry says, if it's this bad for black folks under Obama, Trump will be no different. I beg to differ, Angry. I think there is a level of worse there that maybe is just too hard for us to contemplate. It can get ever so much worse. Brother Deacon Gerald asking, round up millions? Sounds familiar. 1930s, 1940s? You know, I found it interesting. Every day I go and I read Charlie Pierce. And as progressive and liberal as he is, he's also an astute observer. Of the culture and of politics. And he doesn't run around going all Godwin's Law at all. But by God, he's done it. He has made the comparison. And I don't think he was wrong. He wrote today not until Wednesday did we realize the true magnitude of the threat that this reckless clown poses to American democracy. Not until Wednesday did we hear clearly the echoes of shiny black boots on German cobblestones. And he goes on to talk about this latest libel, a blood libel of sorts, that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini has begun trumpeting around the country, that he knows, because he hears things, that somebody called for a moment of silence for Micah Johnson, the shooter in Dallas. This is, of course, patently false, patently untrue. But that doesn't stop him from saying it. And those shiny black boots to which Charlie Pierce referred, well, it's rather of a Reichstag fire kind of thing. Das ist die Arbeit von Kommunisten. This is the work of communists, he said in the wake of the Reichstag fire, when in fact it wasn't. But it was enough to rouse up the people, to get them good and rousted. And there it is. Steve from Georgistan in a note says, if Trump gets elected, kiss your pension, your 401k, and your Social Security goodbye. They've been wanting to steal all of the above for years, and Trump will show them the way, man. Not a scare tactic either. That's simply the way I see it. And when I say they, I mean the Rithugs. Yep. Steve in New York says, I can say for me, for what it's worth, I'll not vote for any Green Party candidate because they just aren't serious. They don't engage in any grassroots organizing and come around every 4 years in some sort of vanity show. Never once have I seen them in what I think would be fertile ground here in New York. Yeah. Andy, meanwhile, out in Redwood City, California, is having none of it. He said, the Clintons have to lose. When they win, they get stronger. Vote your conscience. Be prepared to suck it up, buttercup. Blame the Democratic leadership for running a neoliberal slate. Just vomit that slate back into their face. And Andy includes a note he sent to Bernie. Dear Mr. Sanders, it was supposed to be a revolution. Revolutionaries don't concede. They force their adversary to take it. I was greatly disappointed. It was shocking to watch you endorse a candidate that will further rip the guts out of the New Deal and working class. The Clintons have done immense harm to working people, incalculable, ripping the heart and guts out of the party. You betrayed the people that supported you. You should have taken it to the convention and let the neoliberal rot of the Democratic Party take it from you. Let them wrench it out of your hands. Never, never, never give in. Mrs. Clinton is not an option. Very unhappy with your endorsement. Signed, Andy. And maybe that's the way it should have been. Maybe he should have taken it all the way to the convention. Maybe a floor fight was the way to go. But by the same token, I have trusted Bernie Sanders' judgment for years. And I trust his judgment now. I think Bernie Sanders understands the dire threat that this country faces from Donald Trump. Not just white America, not just black America, not any particular America, but the entire idea of America. You know, I would like to live in a progressive progressive country with progressive ideals, the kinds of ideals that once made this country great. But honestly, how many progressive empires are there, or have there been? I mean, I guess the British considered themselves fairly humane, but ask anyone who lived under their boot in India how humane they were. Right? How many progressive empires are there? Brother Deacon Asa writes and says, regarding concentration camps, as you know, I'm ever the optimist. Bob, look at the bright side. Building all those concentration camps, checking up on all the suspicious moose limbs, it all means jobs for the real Merkins. Yeah. And, you know, how will Wall Street respond? I got no idea. No idea whatsoever. But I think Wall Street knows Trump probably better than anybody else does. Yeah, see, Lottie in the chat room says the word empire is contradictory to progressive. Yeah. So we're not going to have a progressive empire. we're going to have a center-right empire. And that's the way empires tend to run. So, you know, pick your poison. But just understand that there's a lot more riding on this than just one's tender conscience. Angry, meanwhile, says, it can always get worse. Sure, hindsight is 20/20. Exactly. So fuck Sanders for cowardice, fuck the Clintons for harming my people, African and indigenous, and fuck the DNC for not giving me a fucking choice. So here's the next question. If Hillary Clinton loses this election, will the DNC learn? Will all those moderate center-right Democrats learn? I would hazard to suggest that the answer is no, they will not learn. You know why? Because they're going to blame all the people. Because there's always somebody more convenient than themselves to blame. And that's human nature, not just the DNC. Externalize fault, don't internalize it. So they'll blame Jill Stein. And so they'll blame anybody but themselves. Look at 2000 if you need a Jim Dandy example of that. Ralph Nader was not responsible for what happened in Florida. The more than 10,000, God knows how many thousands, of Democrats in Florida who voted for George W. Goddamn Bush were to blame for Florida. A state like West Virginia, where the majority of registration is Democrat, who went out and voted for George W. Goddamn Bush, are to blame. And there's tons of empirical evidence to be gathered on this. My own state, West Virginia, poor, beaten down, and bedraggled as it is, decided to screw itself in 2014. By going and voting in a teabagger legislature who responded by taking a big steamer all over the people who put them in office. Oh, there were proud union households, proud United Mine Workers households who ran, baby. I mean ran, sunshine, not walked, not crawled, but damn well sprinted to the polls to vote that Republican legislature in because of that Obama and his EPA war on coal. Maybe some people are just afraid of the Trumpers, the Trumpansies, and all the poo they'll fling if Trump isn't elected. Maybe it's that. I don't know. And meanwhile, conflicting reports, not a lot of clarity. Say this as we move toward the end of the filibobster. According to Agence France-Presse, at least 60 people are dead in Nice, in the south of France, along the French Riviera, after a van careened into a crowd of people leaving a Bastille Day celebration. Uh, An Agence France-Presse reported described seeing a white van driving at high speed into the famed Promenade des Anglais as people were leaving after the annual Bastille Day celebration display. The reporter said, "We saw people hit and bits of debris flying around. The driver of a van appears to have killed dozens. Stay in your homes for now. More info to follow," said Nice Mayor Christian Estrosi via Twitter. Witnesses have described hearing gunfire, but it has not been confirmed by the authorities. Another note, this one coming in from another member of the Fraternity of Steve. Subject line, surf and turf. "I'm wondering what the difference between a Trump or a Clinton presidency would do to the rather touchy situation developing between the U.S. and China, especially as regards various and conflicting claims in and around the South China Sea. We've patrolled and assumed steaming rights over this busiest of international waterways for decades, but we've never been faced with a newly modernized and nuclear-equipped People's Liberation Army Navy, along with Beijing's assertion that it has historical and security claims over perhaps 90% of the region. China has deployed and is conducting war games of late throughout the region. There have been numerous confrontations between U.S. spy planes and Chinese craft claiming to be defending intrusions into their airspace." Well, heck, I remember all the way back to 2000, Steve, or 2001, when the Chinese shot down a U.S. spy plane, and Dim Leader, in a bold, brave act of heroism, told the Chinese to give back our service personnel, or he would apologize again. Because, you know, he was a tough, bold, brave kind of leader, Dim Leader was. Steve continues, "No one here, of course, is so much as allowed to express an open opinion about the situation, even if they have private antagonisms of their own. But imagine the possibilities of a Trump response, real military boasting, heightened confrontations, ultimatums, a virtual Disney world of catastrophic dimensions, or a Clinton high diplomatic solution, a heavily concessionary response to the same. We, the U.S. and China, wouldn't want to upset the economic apple cart for trivial reasons anyway. The Chinese are not particularly well rehearsed for such things, but they do have ballistic missiles on submarines now and a big puddle to play in, and they do love the idea of flexing their newfound imperial muscles, especially against the capitalist West. You think? Regards, Steve in China." Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, we've already had the campaign trail boat braggadocio. But it's a lot easier to brag on the campaign trail than it is to be president. And, you know, one last thing. When I read the news about Mike Pence, I thought, well, you know what? That man's going to accept the vice presidency because he knows he will have a better chance of becoming president than any vice president in recent memory. It's not going to be like, you know, Count Dicula, who actually was the shadow president. Mike Pence will have a real chance of becoming president simply because Trump may resign. Trump may find himself impeached even by the Republicans. There are some things up with which even a teabagger will not put. One gets the idea that come January 2017, the long knives are going to be out. One way or another. And I don't wander around talking about, I'm scared. I'm scared of the idea of a Trump presidency. Yeah. Isaac telling me that the death toll in Nice has now risen to 73. The lorry, according to the BBC, was moving quickly at 60 to 70 kilometers an hour, plowed into people there at, you know, about 40 miles an hour. The French can't help but wonder if this is terrorism. I would not be surprised if it is. So, at 4 minutes past the hour, let's take a break. I'll end the filibobster here. Again, a reminder, we try to raise $200 an evening. And here on the 14th of July, 2016, at 4 minutes past 7 o'clock in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, we're at zero. So hopefully that'll change. It is, of course, Thursday. That means we have the Green News Report upcoming with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. So far, the rather immense little thunderstorm that has been parked over us has managed not to knock us off the air. Here's another note, courtesy of Emilio. 2 cents on Empire. Hope you will. Hope you are, too. Noam Chomsky pointed out that Greece and Rome and England were some of the most free societies when they were a superpower. He wasn't advocating empire, just pointing out that empires could be quite free to their citizens while being brutal to those without. Unlike Rome, the British Empire didn't implode, it just sort of fell apart or fizzled after World War I. Hopefully this will be how the American Empire goes out. And, you know, with a bang, with a whimper, hard to say. I guess it's, what, a little past midnight now? A little past 1 a.m. now in France. Take a moment and imagine how T-Rump would respond to something like that. Jim with a note says, what have I been predicting for years over this program? Black boots and rally functions appealing to those of the law and order regime who wish to make Germany great again. Give Trump and minions 4 or 8 years and you will not recognize America again. Take a look at the social dynamics of the Third Reich and the condition of Germany in 1945. Us. Robert says, I can still hear the thunder. Nice. And you're still loud and clear. Thank you, Robert. Thank you very kindly. So, yeah, some sort of a break is in order. And we'll take it. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is the horn. The numbers, you know the numbers, right? 304-663-4676. That's the stress line. 304-574-8178 is line one. And Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, 304 at all. Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet is simply Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. A little something musical, Green News Report, and then back with your thoughts, my thoughts, our thoughts, and what we lovingly refer to here as conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'll call up all my friends and we'll go bust up something beautiful. We'll have to build again. When I get home from work, I'll wrestle off my clothes and leave them right inside the front door. 'Cause nobody's home to know. You see, a hammer finds a nail, and a freight train needs a rails. And I'm doing what I'm on this earth to do. And I don't think, oh, why I'm here where it hurts. I'm just lucky to have the work. Sunday morning, I'm too tired to go to church, but I thank God for the word. I'm doing what I'm on this earth to do. I don't think, oh, why I'm here where it hurts. I'm just lucky to have the work. And every night I dream I'm drowning in the dirt, but I thank God for the world. Somebody proud to love a man like me. My back is numb, my hands are freezing. What I'm looking for is something more than dreams. I don't think, oh, why I'm here where it hurts. I'm just lucky to have.
It's Thursday, July 14, 2016.
The Democrat Party does not understand that coal is an abundant, clean, affordable, reliable domestic energy resource.
Porn is dirty, but coal is clean in the Republican Party platform.
Helping to spread disinformation or misinformation or what we sometimes call lies. That's what they do for a living.
Senate Democrats call out the web of professional climate deniers. Fort McMurray fired the most expensive disaster in Canadian history. June was the hottest on record for the United States. Plus, another fracking explosion, this time in New Mexico.
All of those fracking stories and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and Snarky comment.
And in 50 years, I don't want my grandson, Joe, to turn to me and say, Grandpa, you were in the Senate and you knew about the severity of climate change. Why didn't you do anything to stop it? And also, why are you still alive?
This is your Green News Report.
You're 115 years old.
Okay, Desi Doyen. Boy, do I love Al Franken. That said, here's what it sounded like this week at the Republican Party's platform drafting committee.
We're adding one word, and it's the word clean between abundant and affordable. Adding the word clean.
That's all they're doing, adding the word clean.
Yeah, that's the Republican Party's official platform committee that adopted that position on Monday in advance of their national convention. They call internet pornography a, quote, public health crisis, but not coal, despite the fact that coal literally causes the death and disease of tens of thousands of Americans every single year. Self-described historian and author David Barton passed the amendment with the help of Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso.
I would insert the adjective clean along with coal, particularly because of the technology we have now. So the Democrat Party does not understand that coal is an abundant, clean, affordable, reliable domestic energy resource.
Who knew? Coal is a clean resource? Really?
Yep, and the vote was unanimous to label toxic coal as clean.
Unbelievable.
But the technology that Barton was referring to, it's carbon capture, it's an epic and expensive failure, as detailed in a blockbuster investigation by the New York Times of the taxpayer-subsidized Kemper Carbon Capture Plant in Mississippi. Yet the clean coal canard lives on.
Well, Republicans don't read the New York Times, and I'm not sure they actually read anything.
Meanwhile, 19 Senate Democrats called out the climate change denial industry on the Senate floor this week. The web of denial of interconnected think tanks and front groups funded by the fossil fuel industry that have waged a decades-long propaganda campaign to deceive the public about climate science. Here's Minnesota Democratic Senator Al Franken.
These companies are worried that if people knew that what their products are doing to the planet, they would stop buying their products, or public policy would drive the markets away from their products. So in order to protect their bottom line, they set out to misinform the public. That's what they do for a living.
And ExxonMobil is still funding the climate change denial industry, despite claiming otherwise. That's according to a new analysis of Exxon's charitable contribution disclosures by DeSmogBlog.com. Meanwhile, NOAA reported this week that June 2016 was the hottest June ever recorded in the continental United States, breaking the record set just last year. June's record heat also generated multiple extreme storms and floods in the U.S., putting 2016 on track to break our previous national record for the most billion-dollar weather disasters in 1 year.
That's fantastic. We win again.
Speaking of billion-dollar disasters driven by extreme weather, Canada's Insurance Bureau confirmed this week that the Fort McMurray fire in Alberta's tar sands oil region is the most expensive disaster in Canadian history, causing more than $3 billion worth of damage. Officials say the fire is officially under control, but may take until next summer to put out entirely.
Wow. Just so ironical. The fact that right there, the tar sands where they're pulling out this dirty oil that they want to ship down to the U.S., that it has been engulfed in flames due to the dry, hot weather caused by climate change, caused by their dirty oil. It just never ceases to amaze.
Finally, another fracking explosion, this time in New Mexico. A raging fire, but thankfully no injuries after an explosion at a new oil fracking well site on public lands near historic Chaco Canyon National Historic Park. Residents were forced to evacuate due to heavy smoke because the state allows such drill sites to be located near homes, despite the high risk of wildfire in the very dried out West.
So the Democratic Party is putting wind and solar above fracking, finally, in their party platform. At the same time, the Republicans are trying to tell the world that coal is clean.
Yes.
For much more on all of these stories today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Brad and Desi can always pick a good bumper going out. It is 18 past the hour. Thorn in the Side Thursday here on the Horn. Yeah, I saw the story about New Mexico blowing up last night. Well, I mean, it wasn't all of New Mexico. You know, just a part of New Mexico near the most ancient, culturally significant part of that state that that state has. Yeah. Anasazi culture. Chaco Canyon, National Historic Monument. And they fracked there. Boy, I tell you what, that Obama, he sure is some kind of liberal. Oh, my God. But, you know, just remember, clean coal. Yeah. At least there's not a clean coal plank in the Democratic platform now. It's progress. And that's the whole thing, progress. You don't get... You can't eat an entire cow in one bite. You got to take it a little bit at a time. And we made tremendous gains in this in this latest round of politics as usual. But it's a little much to think that we're going to get it all at once. And I guess that's its own version of incrementalism, isn't it? Let's go over and talk to Thomas from FYINation.com. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Bob. I got a new mic, so hopefully you can hear me okay, and I don't sound.
No, you sound good. It's a little. It doesn't have a lot of underneath to it, but.
Awesome. Because
it's not boomy. It's not boomy at all.
Awesome, because I had to get a short in my other mic. And I lost my headset to it.
Well, better than having a mic in your shorts.
Yeah. Well, yes, indeed. I wanted to talk to you about Nice and a couple of things. Because while I mourn, and CNN is now reporting the 73 dead that were murdered in a terrorist attack, on July 4th, on our nation's holiday, there was a terror attack in Baghdad. A bombing that happened, and there were 125 people, including 25 children and 20 women, who were murdered in Karada, and it was one of the deadliest they ever had. And the irony in the French attacks, the irony is that France was vilified by this country for not wanting to go into Iraq. Freedom fries.
Freedom toast. And,
yes.
And God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals pouring out French wine in the gutters.
Yes, and that angers me to no end. Donald Trump just now tweeted out, I'm halting my condolences to the French in Nice. I'm halting my conference in the morning. Oh, what? Life isn't supposed to go. George W. told us to go buy more houses and inflate the house.
Go to Disney World. Go shopping. That way, or if you don't, the terrorists win.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm terribly sorry that these people died. I'm terribly sorry that we have terror thanks to a constant war that we're willing to wage on the Middle East over fucking fossil fuels. Meanwhile, we're trying to be energy independent. I am so fucking over it. You know, I have absolutely had it, Bob. And the worst part about this is the media is going to miss the mark again. The media is going to contrive this to, it has to be ISIL, the Daesh, and Islamic State, whatever the fuck they're called this month. And it's not the fact that we pulled the trigger on this horse race. We did this. This is of our own making. And now we have perpetual war, and innocent lives, whether they're in Baghdad or in France, are being slaughtered. And
yeah, but see, that's the thing. They don't put out a Facebook Iraqi flag overlay when,
well, exactly,
you know, 100 people get killed in a truck bomb explosion. But for France, yes.
Yeah, because
maybe that's because if we actually thought about why there are truck bombs going off in Iraq, we might have one of those little come to Jesus moments where we go, "Oh, hey, we built that."
Oh, Donald Trump did, he did that, and he got booed at the debate by the Republican Party, and is still the presidential nominee. If you can explain that one to me, I'll buy you a fucking six pack. How he explains it to the American people, he's booed by the Republicans, and at the debate, and he's the GOP nominee. I don't know anymore. I don't even want to talk about it because this is something that we're never going to be honest. Well, you will. Angry Indian will, and a couple other, Mike Malloy will, but we're never going to be honest about, at large, what created this. And it's terrifying.
No, that's a mirror we dare not look into. Because, well, it's not, no, that's an abyss we dare not look into, because the abyss looks back, according to Nietzsche.
Yeah. And comes back in the form of a truck killing 73 people.
Yeah, that.
And what angers me the most is these fucking assholes. And I adore Bob Ney of Talk Media News Service, but he's the guy who gave us freedom fries. So I will always hold him. And he freely admits he did that, you know? So I will always hold him responsible for that, because those who I love the most, I will drag through the mud the most to get them to change. And he has changed a lot for his perspective. But that being said, this country, France, that had this attack tonight was maligned and shit all over by the United States of America. And somehow we're with them now, and we're going to stand by them when we pissed and shit all over them, when they didn't do what we want, when they were truly patriotic and they stood by us during our Revolutionary War. And because W didn't get his way and Congress had to be all uppity about it, that's how we repaid them, and now they're getting the brunt of all the attacks. The irony in that is heartbreaking.
I think that's very well put. There is a heartbreaking irony to it, and what is it? But Thomas, what does it mean for us to say, we stand with France? I mean, what does that mean? That's just words. You know, we can't bomb our way to peace and prosperity. And when you're dealing, when you're dealing with something like what the Pentagon refers to as asymmetrical warfare, it's a lot more It's hard to put an army in the field and say, well, go kill the asymmetrical warriors.
If I had the answers, I think I'd have a bunker somewhere with Jim Baker soup in a Fiesta bucket. I don't know the answers.
With apocalypse pudding?
Yes. And that macaroni and cheese that looks so yummy but probably makes you want to throw up.
Oh my. But no, something like that has to, it makes you have to, I mean, the way you deal with it is to figure out why the people are doing it. And we don't much want to know the answer to that question, Thomas.
Well, yeah, we're fighting to release the transcripts of the hidden 9/11 pages. We know why. Saudi Arabia was in cahoots, and they funded that. And most of the attackers were Saudi Arabian, not Iraqis. But somehow we managed to stumble into Iraq because daddy.
He tried to kill my daddy.
You know? Speaking of, dry drunk much?
Oh my God, did you see that video?
Yes, I did. And,
I realize there are problems inherent with talking about a video on the radio. But just a little bit of a setup. At the memorial service for the Dallas police officers who were killed last week. At the end, they sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and everybody held hands. And standing between Michelle Obama and Laura Pickles Bush was none other than Dim Leader. Who was boogieing to the... I mean, he was getting his boogie on.
Yes, that was some Texas swagger, man.
To the, I mean, he was doing everything but a Texas two-step. You can go... Well, I think you can see... You can find the video over on my Facebook page. Sweet jumping Jesus.
Laura has to be embarrassed every time she has to
well,
take
no,
that.
Well, no, the two of them, the Laura and Michelle Obama, both looked like they just wanted the earth to open up and swallow Dim Leader whole.
Yes.
I mean, you'll forgive me, I couldn't help imagining... Just under her breath, Michelle going, white people. White people.
Trump next. Oh, my God, Trump next.
Après nous le déluge.
I haven't seen anything like that since he danced in Africa.
Yeah, and it was totally inappropriate. That's like, you know... Sunbathing in France right now. It's something you don't do. You don't talk about like I just did because I'm an asshole. You know? You just... Fuck! You're at a memorial, and I watched the video via TYT, and Cenk, like, all Zapruder filmed it. And he figured out that at one point, Dim Leader blew Michelle a kiss. Or said hallelujah to her during that. And they figured out that there was another guy who was a cop, a black guy who was a cop, who was kind of like getting into the rhythm. Because, I mean, the song is pretty rhythmic. And if you have it, hell, use it a little bit, I guess. And I guess you could see the point in the video where he looks over at George W. and what he's doing. And he stops.
Yeah.
Because who wants to be like that, man? I mean, I'm so glad. As much as I can't stand Obama, I am so glad if he goes on the world stage to, you know, Nice, or he sends Vice President Biden or John Kerry, we will not have any of the Bush clan up over in France dance into the Battle Hymn of the Republic at a memorial service.
The Marseillaise.
Yeah. And I watched him speak to, and there, all I kept thinking was dry drunk. I just, you know, because...
Well, you're not the onlyest one, if it makes you feel better.
Oh, it really doesn't.
There's a lot of people that looked at that and went, yep, dry drunk.
I mean, did he get into the Jesus juice before he went there? I mean, what the...
I was thinking maybe the happy pills are working a little too well.
Yeah, because it was bizarre, Bob. I mean, on the
Scott in San Diego says W was just channeling his inner church lady doing his superiority dance. That might be a little bit of a dated reference, but I get it.
I get it too, Satan.
There you go.
Oh, about that Pokemon Go thing you did last night. Oh my God.
Yeah, Pokemon Go.
Yes. The joke is too soon, but I did, as I was listening, I woke up to the news because you know my hours are all, you know, and I woke up to the news because my mom had called me, and then I was like zoning out from my mom hearing what was blaring on the TV, and I'm thinking, how is Rick Wiles and all these fuckers going to react more? And all I could think of, buy more soup. You know? It's just like...
Buy another bucket.
Another year's supply. Yippee! I mean, maybe that's what we need to do. We need to come up and get the blue-haired ladies on a good recipe. And sell us some soup. And a Fiesta bucket.
Yum, yum, under tooled leather.
Now, my question to you is, it served best with or without bucket?
I really can't answer that question because I'm not that brave, and I don't. If I had the spare money, no, I still wouldn't because I don't want to. No, not Jim Baker. No way. No damn way. I've still got our PTL leather-bound Bible. And he got that out of my grandmother. He ain't getting none out of me.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. See, I have a problem because my best friend and my roommate, Steven, who makes it so I could do the show at night and go to the doctor and everything else. I adore that man. He puts up with me, too, which is... in and of itself a miracle. He likes to watch those shows because his grandmother was a organist and he's very into the Jesus-y music. And I adore, you know, so I don't mind that part of it, but oh man.
Oh, by the way, reporting coming in now, the truck in Nice was loaded with guns and grenades, according to the Associated Press and Reuters.
See, what I don't understand is, okay, this is going to make me more of an asshole than usual. Why not use them? It's like I'm going to shoot my load running through these people. And I know I'm being extremely vulgar with it, but that's the only way to be at this point. And running through these people, and I'm not going to use all this in here. And then I go false flag. I turn into Alex Jones, because why have all that if you're not going to use it? It's not like the dude's the U.S. military.
Well, it's a way, but we talked about that a little bit. It is a way of militarizing. It's a way of militarizing a police force so as to get around Posse Comitatus, because Posse Comitatus says you can't use the American military inside the United States to impose order.
Ah, okay, all right.
But if the police have every bit as good a stuff as the military does, problem solved.
Yeah, with the robot, our Mr. Robot blowing up an American citizen, because who's not okay with that?
Well, he stopped being an American citizen, you know, when he picked up the rifle.
I thought he stopped being an American citizen when he was black. I thought the police didn't think black people were American citizens the way they shoot them off.
Yeah, you probably best not to go there.
Fair enough.
But, no, I mean, did you see the photograph of the woman confronting the police in Baton Rouge?
Oh, I adore that photo. That woman is one of the bravest.
I mean, that's Tiananmen Square and the tank all over again.
But on the bright side, we're still going to have people like Billie Jean, who are getting all angry over that picture. Because why didn't she just obey? You know? Mm. And that's not white privilege if I ever saw it.
No. Hey, Thomas, I'm going to get a few more calls in, but it's good to hear from you, my friend. I'm glad you did call in because, sometimes I just need a little company out here on the ledge.
Oh, I appreciate it, and thank you for playing guinea pig to my mic test.
It worked out well. We had a little bit of echo back, but it hasn't been terrible.
Awesome. Thank you, Bob.
Oh, my pleasure, Thomas. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye now. Our buddy Thomas from FYINation.com. Now, what I was saying about the asymmetrical warfare is that, you know, while the pablum that comes from the for-profit media is, these are cowardly acts. Well, until you've decided to blow yourself up in the name of your cause, let's not talk about who's cowardly and who's not. But it requires a degree, you know, something like terrorism just requires a degree of introspection. And facile answers like, well, they hate us for our freedoms. That's just bullshit. That's all. And hey, there's the angry Indian. What's happening, Angry?
Hey, my man.
What do you know?
I know that we might disagree, but there's a reason behind what I said, because, you know, consider we've been told, well, if Nixon gets in again, it's going to be so much worse than it is now. We have to vote for Kennedy. Well, you know, Kennedy pushed Vietnam anyway, and probably would have continued, he and his brother, with the plots against Castro that we know about, that Bobby Kennedy was directly involved in.
Well, there are those who say that he got killed for wanting to get out of Vietnam, specifically because of the speech that he had in his pocket that day in Dallas.
Yeah, I know people say that, but you got to remember, was he getting out of Vietnam because he gave a fuck about the Vietnamese, or was they getting out of Vietnam because they were losing?
Well, in either instance, the central part is getting out of Vietnam.
No, I mean, understand what you're saying, but what I'm trying to get to is, when we talk about politics, usually the person who's speaking about a particular politic is speaking about it from their particular perspective in terms of what they get out of it. So when folks are like, well, you know, we can't let Trump get in, you're right. That's already a given if you're a conscious person of color, that Trump cannot get in. He can't get in. We already got that. But to say that, well, we just have to vote for Hillary Clinton. Well, Hillary Clinton is one of the reasons that Philando Castile and Alton Sterling are dead. She said that we are super predators. She said that we need to be brought to heel. She refused to apologize for it when asked. She refused to even explain what the fuck she was even trying to do with that. She refused to answer questions about her husband signing the anonymous crime bill.
She did say she would never say that again.
Well, wow. Whoop the fucking do. You know, I'll never say that again. Wow. But at the meantime, I'm going to say that the BDS, though, is the worst fucking thing going since, I don't know, rat poison. And, you know, we're going to...
No, you and I are not going to have a big disagreement over the fact that I am not... And never have been someone who will sit here and say that she's an awesome candidate with great ideas to take America forward. She isn't. She's just what we had. You know, she is the political version of that line from the end of Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises, where Lady Brett Ashley says, sometimes not being a bitch is what we have instead of God. Okay, she's what we've got instead of Trump.
Understood. But how did we get to this point in the first place? Because people kept telling folks like me, well, you know, Sanders will never win. So, you know, we need to put our shit into Hillary Clinton. Yeah, she might have said those things, but she's been doing good things for the black community ever since. And why are you so hateful? You know, Bill Clinton was good to us. And you can't explain to them the fucking damage that they did. They don't want to hear it. We've been told this since Reconstruction. Well, the next election will get better. If you support us, the next election will get better. The next election will get better. A bunch of you just got wiped out in Rosewood, in Oklahoma. Oh, well, the next election will get better. The next election will get better. Vote for Kennedy. Things will get better. Vote for this one. I supported Clinton the first goddamn time. And then I saw what the fuck he did. And I haven't supported him since. And I was goddamn right to fucking do so. Oh, well, if you're not involved in the process, then you don't have a right to complain. Well, that's a goddamn lie, because whether I vote or not, and most motherfucking black people in this country and Native Americans cannot motherfucking vote, cannot goddamn vote. With natives, it's a double goddamn jeopardy thing, where depending on what fucking nation you belong to and whether or not you're recognized by them, you can be fucking kept from voting, right? And then with blacks, if you have a goddamn felony, if you have any kind of fucking paperwork on your ass, if you're in debt in some fucking cases, I'm hearing about this, you can't fucking vote. You can't get a fucking passport. You can't participate within fucking life in this goddamn country. So, you know, they can say whatever the fuck they want. Yes, they might send some stormtroopers literally into the fucking black ghettos. You know, I'm talking about cops. I'm talking about Blackwater, like they did during Katrina. Yeah, they might send them into the black and immigrant fucking communities to do whatever the fuck they want to do. But if they're going to do that, they're going to do it anyway. They're already doing it. They're already doing it. More than 811 goddamn people have died in fucking police custody. Many of them within 3 days of being fucking brought in local fucking jails. Not just Sandra Bland. This is what happened after Sandra Bland. So really, how fucking worse can things get? So when, and I'm not talking about you per se, Bob, but when a lot of white liberals, and again, I'm not talking about you, even the listeners, but when a lot of white liberals say, well, we got to do this because this is where we're at, we've been hearing this and things are getting worse for us, and it's not going to get any motherfucking better, because once your concerns are dealt with, I got to still be black in America under a conservative or under a liberal. And this is a liberal who says that I'm a super predator and that I should be brought to heel. And we're wondering why cops are killing black people.
You're going to have to work real hard to convince me that Hillary Clinton's any kind of a liberal.
No, she's not a liberal, but she's representing
the
liberal
wing. But the question yet obtains, Angry, and this is where I'm licked. I'm stumped. It's a binary choice, and binary choices suck. It's a trinary if you just decide to sit it out. But even sitting it out works to somebody's benefit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like
and,
I said...
And we know, you know, empirically, data-driven, that reduced voter turnout always inures to the benefit of the Republicans. Because they don't like people voting in the first place. So, you know, I'm licked. I don't know what to do. I want a progressive candidate with a progressive vision. There ain't one of those on the ballot.
Yeah, but again, Bob, I'm going back to the same thing. Why are we in this position? Because when I'm talking about Sanders specifically, because we never really got to see O'Malley. Not that I supported him or even liked a lot of the shit that he had to say, but we never even heard from him. You heard from every Republican jerkweed who had a fucking, you know, anything to say. And they were all stupid. And then they were fighting amongst each other like a bunch of goddamn children. So, you know, how did we get to this fucking point? Because here it is. We know now, because of the emails that have been leaked, that the DNC had already made up his mind, which we already knew anyway. But now we know this for goddamn sure. But we're not going to fucking sit here and say, okay, well, let's play catch up by, well, we got no choice now. We're stuck with this system. Instead of saying we should have been arguing and really goddamn demanding fairness from the fucking beginning, when we knew that the media was cheating Sanders in terms of not reporting how many fucking people were showing up to his rallies. Women giving up bags and shoes. Women giving up bags and shoes to go into a goddamn political fucking event for a couple of hours and not retrieve their goddamn shit when they got back. They did not report on any of this. They did not report on any of this. They did not fucking talk about the violence.
I get angry. I get all that, brother. I do.
Well, that's how we got here. Why are we not talking about that? Because playing catch up. Well, we have to vote for Clinton. Well, we have to vote for Clinton because nobody wanted to talk about the fucking the fallibilities that were leading up to this in the first place. And then would this do another
Angry, there's a million of those. The front loading of the Confederacy in the Democratic primary process. I mean, we let people in states essentially create the impression of Hillary as front runner by letting people who live in states that are never going to go for the Democrat make that call. I mean, why? And you know, I've asked this question and I can't get an answer. I don't get one that's viable or makes any sense. Why? I mean, it makes sense for the Republicans to let a place like South Carolina put a front runner out front, but why in the name of God do the Democrats do that? What impact does South Carolina have on the Democratic Party? Next to none.
Yeah, who lives in South Carolina and what's going on right now? Look at the way she's been dressing. Look at the things that she's been saying. And read their own fucking literature in terms of the people that Hillary is paying. We know this because CBS News and the New York Times published this, that they are paying propagandists to front for her on social media and on the net. They are acting as if they're independent people when they're really following fucking scripts. It's the DNC version of Hasbara. And when you look at their goddamn, what they're writing, why should we be surprised that this is happening? The majority of the rank and file, they know this, will just do what the fuck they're told. The same thing on the Republican end. But the thing about the Republican end, like you said, it works in their fucking favor. They just do what the fuck they're told to do. They just mimic and so on with everybody else. But that has also happened in the fucking DNC. The DNC is not even supporting the majority of the fucking shit that they claim the goddamn support in contrast to the Republicans. But when you really look at it, it's no fucking different. I mean, if Sanders had not come in at all, there would be no talk about TPP. There would be no talk about the Hillary Clinton's, the Clinton Foundation's ties to ripoffs in Haiti and all that kind of shit. You know, there's still no talk about Berta Cáceres. I mean, there's been, what, 8 goddamn activists killed since she's been killed. She's still not being called to the carpet about this by her own goddamn party. We're in a funk. And like you said, you know, we all know this already, but we're not asking ourselves to prevent it from happening again. How the fuck did this really happen? How do we sit here?
I get that. But the question is upon us now.
What do we do now? Yeah, okay. Well, we do what we did the last time. We vote for the fucking, you know, the person that's put in front of us. The last two times, it was Obama. And what did he do? He sits in Washington, D.C. and complains about what's happening with Israel, even though Israel is wrong as goddamn hell. He sits there and fucking defends, I'm saying this because it's true, defends the gay community because basically they're the ones that are giving him money. That's not me. That's David Axelrod speaking on Meet the Press. He defends the business goddamn community. And every now and again, he'll say something about suit-wearing Muslims and Arabs. But he says not a goddamn thing about black people. And while he's talking about Mexicans, he's rounding up as many Spanish-speaking
immigrants. Well, there was a little bit of I did notice a little bit of blaksplaining in Dallas the other day.
Well, he can call it whatever he wants. You know, white people like to hear him.
No. That's what I mean. No, I mean, he chided the black community some, and I'm sure that made everybody in the place in that hall in Dallas feel real good.
Look, if you're not going to follow,
I'm not giving up.
What else is there?
My values are what my values are, and they're going to remain my values, and I'm going to want I'm going to continue to insist that we would be better off with progressive values than centrist or center right or God knows, right wing Trump values. I mean, how much more of a clear signal does he have to send than by choosing a Mike Pence as his running mate?
how much more of a signal does he have to send with all of his Jew baiting and other racist crapola that he's been fucking flooding the internet with? And he's been allowed to do this. He's been allowed to do this. Now, I don't like her, but there's a particular rapper who got in trouble recently. I mean, she's a loudmouth, but she got in trouble recently for insulting gay people on Twitter. Alicia Banks, or Azalea Banks, sorry, because I don't listen to rap, but Azalea Banks, and they kicked her off of Twitter. Now, I get insulted just about every goddamn day I'm really active on Twitter. I've been called chief. I've been called redskin. I've been called a nigger. I've had guns, photographs of guns sent to me. I've outright threats. Nothing. These people are still running around on the fucking internet. Trump has been allowed to spread hate. There is a neo-Nazi group that formed in Sacramento, California that said that their main goal in life now is to make sure that the people who are supporting Trump are protected. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? And nobody's even reminding anybody about, you know, when they're talking about Dallas here, that Black Lives Matter was fucking attacked twice. That people were shot in front of a Black Lives Matter motherfucking action in front of a police station two nights in a goddamn row. You know, we're not being honest about things. He's able to pick Mike Pence because this is what the fuck his campaign was always about to begin with.
No, this is what that party is about, Angry.
Well, again, that's a given. But
I mean, I guess there were some people thinking that, you know, you know, the smart money would be to pick a woman as his running mate. And, you know, that Palin lady's still out there.
Right.
And no, this is a picture of Republican values, a world dominated by old white men.
Okay, so what is the DNC then looking at Hillary Clinton? She is not a spring chicken. She is an imperialist.
A party dominated by an old white woman?
Well, who is an imperialist? I mean, look at Theresa May.
Anybody who reaches the level of running for president of the United States is going to be an imperialist.
But how come nobody wants
because
to say that about Obama?
Because this is an empire.
How come nobody wants to say that about Obama? The whole reason he got
who's
in.
Who's not saying it about Obama? Obama's, of course, he's an imperialist.
Who's not saying it? The entire goddamn DNC and most of the black community in the entire fucking world is saying that he's not an imperialist. This is the world in which I live in. This is what I'm saying, Brother Bob. You can't tell a black person on the street that Mr. Obama does not deserve his peace prize because their first knee-jerk answer is, well, all the other white guys got one. So why can't he have one? But I'm like, but there's been no peace. So this is what I'm talking about. The willful denial in the DNC, in the RNC, in the people that vote, in the people that don't goddamn vote. The irrationality runs rampant in this motherfucking country. Nobody wants to admit it. And you can't ask the irrational person if you're rational. They don't know. They're not aware of it. When you're in a funk, you can't realize what the fuck is going on until somebody pulls your fucking coattails or you hit rock fucking bottom. And that's what evidently the GNC
did.
They wanted all to hit rock bottom because they own every goddamn thing, and that way they just fucking roll in and take it over.
How did we wind up with FDR's progressive agenda?
In a lot of ways, by force. But he also didn't have the motherfucking media working against him.
Yeah, but
he
wait, Angry. Wait, we got FDR's so-called progressive agenda because there was enough of a growing threat from socialism to put a little fear of Jesus into the Democratic Party. One, two. The Republicans had driven this country into the dirt. As bad as 2008 going forward was, it wasn't nothing compared to the Great Depression. All right? We got progressive reforms because white people were in a bad way.
Of course, but I'm also saying you have to look at the other side. It was also done by force. What did you just say? They were worried about a socialist slash communist takeover in this country. They were looking at his own motherfucking cabinet and looking at the people that he had in there and say, well, wait a goddamn minute. You know, we might motherfucking lose this because there's a lot of fucking poor Republican voting goddamn people in the Midwest that will support this bullshit. They were breaking fucking strikes. They were assassinating fucking union leaders. They were assassinating people that were trying to organize the fucking cotton pickers and bullshit. And this is after they had kicked Mexicans out. You know, just threw a bunch of them on a train and just sent them out of here. And then they realized that white people didn't want those fucking jobs. And no matter what they were paying, which they weren't paying much, they wouldn't fucking do them. So it was force. It was force. It wasn't that, oh, yeah, well, white people aren't getting it, so we're going to do this. No. They were forced. The idea was we can control this a hell of a lot better than we can if we let the people decide what the fuck to do. Because if the people decide what to do, the average goddamn person out here, regardless of political affiliation, is going to say, well, people should be fed. People should have at least decent housing at the very fucking least. At the very fucking least.
Right. And remember that the so-called financial elites called FDR a traitor to his class.
To his class.
And you know, his response was, A, I welcome their hatred. But B, the fact that, you know, you ingrate sons of bitches, you don't realize I just kept the people with the pitchforks and torches away from your sorry asses by giving them next to nothing.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, we keep teetering but if
you want to know how we get out of this little trick box that we're in 2016, it's an answer that is terrifying to contemplate.
No, yeah, but hold up for a second. You just brought up a kernel of it. Let's look at the Roosevelt family. Let's do a quick history lesson here on the Roosevelt family. Who were they? They were a rich, elite family from upstate New York, and they were all hardcore conservatives. He was the exception out of that entire bunch. When you look up what happened in Iran in the 50s with the coup, there was a Roosevelt involved in that coup, Kermit Roosevelt. He said he did that coup for less than $500 American. His other relatives and brothers and nephews who didn't work for the Central Intelligence Agency, all right, were involved in dirty tricks all over the goddamn globe. He was the exception. We have to find people who are the exception and be able to support them. And so that brings us back
to Sanders. And let's remember, Kermit was a descendant of Teddy, not a direct descendant of
not a direct
FDR.
Descendant, yeah. But I'm just saying, the entire
different
family.
Different Roosevelts.
The entire family was hardcore conservative, hardcore imperialist, and believed in using dirty tricks and anything that was necessary in order to maintain white power. He was an exception. He was not a total liberal, but he was an exception.
Well, the point that I'm trying to make, Angry, is that FDR was able to do what FDR did because, among other things, he didn't have the kind of media. There was not the kind of, you know, always on media that we have now. But I wonder if it can ever happen again.
Let me just sort of spin
this out for a minute. Let's say that the purists stay home with their consciences, and we get Trump as president, and so then, you know, then the revolution's going to come more quickly, and we'll have that progressive paradise we all dream of. At what point in time is Fox News going to look up and say, well, you know, okay, we were wrong all along? And no, they'll double down. Goddamn. Okay? Trump is not going to bring the revolution. Nixon in 68 didn't bring the revolution. Nixon in 72 didn't bring the revolution. Ronald goddamn Reagan did not bring the revolution. A few people threw eggs at Dim Leader's car in January 2001, but there was no revolution there. Millions of people in the streets in the run-up to the Iraq War did not stop the Iraq War, and there are a million dead Iraqi innocent civilians now, plus. There's a flaw in this theory that if it only gets bad enough, good things will happen. Because I can't find any empirical proof of that being the case. Can you?
Yeah or no? Which again brings me back to Roosevelt. I mentioned his family's history, meaning that he was born and raised with all of them. I mean, he wasn't any different, but he was somewhat different. He was willing to say, okay, well, I'm going to go against the grain and do this. And yes, the media was not in his way and such and so on. But he was willing to do this. Can you actually say that there are enough goddamn even decent enough white people in the DNC to make sure that this shit is going to work out? And I have to tell you from where I'm sitting, no. And that's the main reason none of this bullshit is going to happen. Because the average white fucking liberal is going to support racism in this fucking country as long as they think that they benefit from it. As long as they think that it's going to help them get a paycheck. As long as they think that it's going to help them keep their fucking property values. As long as they think it's going to be able to help them get a fucking car. As long as they think it's going to get their kid into school as opposed to my motherfucking kid into school. And if we're not going to talk about that, and the fact that Hillary Clinton is representative of white power, and so is fucking Barack Obama. Nobody wants to come out and say that. That man has never supported anything other than fucking white power. Until that goddamn question
well,
is
what,
asked.
Well, what other power is there to support, Angry?
What do you mean?
Well, you said he's never supported anything but white power. In the United States of America, what other power is there to support?
Well, again, it depends on where
people
you are.
People of color have only, you know, at best, marginal power.
Again, it depends from perspectives, where you are. You got folks from where I come from. Again, they don't give a fuck who becomes president. They're going to sell dope every goddamn day. And they're going to be allowed to sell dope to other black people every fucking day. This is what I'm talking about when I say things don't change.
Yeah, it's that scene from the Godfather where he says, "Let them lose their souls." Right?
You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, and until white liberals really start looking at the world like that, that is not just wrapped around themselves, because that's why the DNC can get away with this and keep putting black people and brown people up against the wall. You know, it's where you don't have any other choice but to support us.
And yet we are having a more profound conversation about that issue now, in the last year, than we have had in two or three decades.
Yeah, but it's too late now because he's getting ready to go. It's too late now.
No. I'm not limiting this to Barack Obama. I mean, I refuse to see this campaign as a zero sum game, in which it's either all losing or all winning. You know, revolutions are organic, ongoing processes. It wasn't one at Breed's Hill, and one Molotov cocktail does not a revolution make. You know, Fidel and his bunch landed in the Sierra Maestra, and they on to Havana.
Yeah, okay, they were one of four groups, though.
I don't want to get lost in the weeds. We've started the march. I mean, there have been profound changes made in the Democratic Party platform.
In what sense, though, really?
Well, goddamn, clean coal's out of it, for one.
Well, okay, well, that's good for you, and I'm being serious, and I'm glad that you have that. But you know, I've been
it's good for everybody. It's good for everybody. You know, especially the people who die from coal every year, as Brad and Desi mentioned. You know, tens of thousands of people. You know, a lot of those plants, those coal-fired power plants, are sited near poor communities of color.
Understood. What does that have to do with cops murdering us in the street and in prison?
I didn't say it did.
But I
said it's progress.
Well, it's progress, really, and I'm being very serious about this. It's progress for your community. That's not progress for the rest of us. Because in order to even be able to breathe, I got to be able to live. I got to be able to get from one point to the other without being shot by a cop. I got to be
yeah,
able
but
to
you
keep
can turn,
my job.
Yeah, but angry, you can turn that on. You can turn that 180 degrees and say you've got to be able to breathe before you can be shot by the cops.
That's true. But see, the thing is, if everybody's breathing and I'm still getting shot, you know, then what? We're still waiting. We serve in the military just like every goddamn buddy else. We help people here just like everybody else. We go to work when we're allowed to go to work. We do every fucking thing this country needs, even though we don't get a goddamn thing out of it. And it's not that I'm not concerned about coal, but what about the rest of us?
I just threw that one out there. There are, there's been a lot of fighting over that platform,
And I'm sorry, I'm not gonna turn around and declare Bernie Sanders a goddamn idiot just because he did what he said he was going to do. Bernie Sanders has said that he is proud of a lot of the things that have happened inside that platform.
Well, good for him.
And they are.
He talked revolution and he didn't do it. Okay,
I disagreed with the use of the word revolution. I don't like that word because it usually means poor people being put up against walls and shot. Okay? A silly movie reference from Young Frankenstein. A riot is an ugly thing. Okay? We've got all these words that we've watered down and turned into nothing because, you know, we have a war on drugs. Well, you know, hell, nobody who's ever seen an actual war is going to think that it's anything that you want. All right. So throwing around a word like revolution, I saw somebody who was one of those diehard hilarians during the primary process. Bernie wants a revolution. That means he must want to line up the Wall Street bankers and just have them shot.
That was Bill Clinton that said that.
Well, no, somebody, no, somebody, somebody,
every third person on Wall Street.
Yeah, Bill Clinton, and he said they'd be happy for about 15 minutes and then they'd want some more. You know, screw Bill Clinton. I'm talking about somebody out there who, up until that moment, had some credibility as a progressive. But, I mean, when you say he promised a revolution and then he didn't deliver, well, what is? I mean, I don't think one this country is not inclined in that direction.
Well, no. Well, how are we defining revolution? He said that he was going to continue to fight, so he should have continued to fucking fight.
Till when?
Hillary Clinton is being investigated.
Angry till when?
You keep fighting to the fucking end. If you're not going to fucking do that, don't talk revolution.
I mean, do you want him to die at the podium banging on it with his shoe in Philadelphia?
No, you're going to an extremes. There's a fucking rule of goddamn law. There are rules. If they're not following the fucking rules, then we go there and we fucking sit like they tell us to sit in the street and get mowed the fuck down all the goddamn time. Whereas the white people taking over the fucking DNC and saying, we're going to fucking make this shit goddamn work and we're going to fucking force you to fucking do it.
Of course,
if you want to call the cops, then fucking do so.
Now,
but
let's,
we're going to fucking observe the fucking rules here. So if we're not going to observe the rules and the law is not going to be fucking acknowledged.
No. Yeah, the Alinsky model, you make power abide by its own rules. I understand that. But let's remember that there are some empowered and there is some entrenched power from the community of color sitting on the DNC. It's not this big old lily white gang of you know, Klansmen.
And what makes you think I'm excluding them?
I didn't say you were.
The Congressional Black Caucus is part of why this is working the way it is. They're the ones that are telling us.
Because they've got theirs.
They're telling us to shut the fuck up, that we have to support Hillary Clinton, that we have to support Obama, that we have to support the fucking DNC. They're the ones that also have fucking turned around and have went against every motherfucking black fucking liberation movement in this country. It was the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense that talked about the Breakfast goddamn program. That's where the U.S. fucking government got it from. It was black people in the fucking radical, you know, sectors that were putting medical fucking centers at no fucking cost in black goddamn communities. They were putting up training centers in fucking communities because I went to those goddamn programs. And they came around and smashed every fucking one. And then people like on this, the fucking Congressional Black Caucus come around. Oh, well, we need more cops. We need more community boards. We need this. We need that. But then you turn around and say, well, hey, you know, we got political prisoners like Leonard Peltier, like the Ruba Bin Wahad and shit sitting in there for trying to do exactly what the fuck you're talking about. Oh, well, we can't support them because they're radical this, that, and the other. Because the man said that they did this, that, and the other. You know, come on. This is where I'm coming from. I'm tired of hearing about the mainstream. I've been supporting the mainstream my entire fucking conscious life.
Well, I said something a while back angry, and I'm sticking to it. Hillary Clinton does not need my money. She's got her hedge fund buddies, and they give her money by the millions. She don't need my $27 or my $5 or my $1. I don't want my house burned down, so I'm not putting a sign in my yard. I don't want my tires slashed, so I'm not putting a sticker on my car. All right? Here's what I'm going to do. And again, in a state like West Virginia, even voting for Hillary Clinton is a radical act, Angry. Okay?
Agreed.
I'm going to go and I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because Trump. Okay? Not because I think she's got any answers. Not because I think that she gives gives much of a rat's ass about the communities of color or about poor people in Appalachia. Okay? We've been over that. We've been called those people. All right? Appalachians are those people to Hillary Clinton. I don't think she's I don't think she's a great mind in foreign policy because she listens to Henry Kissinger.
Whether she listens to him or not.
There's not a lot there to recommend her. She is the least appealing candidate possibly in the entire history of the modern Democratic Party. But the stakes are what the stakes are every 4 years. And every 4 years, this is the most important election of our lifetime because every goddamn one of them is. Because all we are doing is standing with our finger in the dike and feeling the pressure build against along the length of it. We're standing in the gates against a gang of barbarians who are our own countrymen, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, something I've been living with ever since the first white man stepped foot on this continent.
Sure.
So, fuck the DNC and fuck this system for putting me against the wall like this, that I gotta vote for somebody who fucking put my goddamn people in fucking prison because we're goddamn black. That says that it's okay to be fucking killed because we're black. That it's okay to fucking be mistreated because we're black. And no matter what you say, Bob, I gotta fucking live with that reality because no matter who the fuck
I'm not telling you you don't. I'm just asking you what your alternative is.
Well, my alternative is I don't have a fucking alternative because I have white liberals and I'm saying it like that. And I'm not talking about you telling me that I gotta keep fucking doing what they think is the fucking right thing. And we've been doing that. And now what the fuck happened? Somebody who was not fucking stable went down to fucking Dallas and called himself defending black honor. I got to live with that, Bob.
Well, and anybody who thinks that jackass, and that's what he was a jackass with a gun, just another jackass with a gun in America, because we got lots of jackasses with guns in America, Angry. Anybody who thinks that he spoke for anybody only thinks that because of confirmation bias. They only think that because they want that to be true.
Regardless.
Because they want to reinforce their own hatreds.
Regardless, they got the power. By the time I get fucked up and I've lost my life, we can talk about, that person was fucked up and they had a bias complex and everything else. In the meantime, I'd be another nigga that's gone. And being forced to fucking support Hillary Clinton, why not ask a Jew to motherfucking support a fucking Nazi? And I am goddamn Jewish, and I can fucking say that. I have family in the fucking camps in Europe, too. So, would anybody tell me to vote for a fucking somebody like Trump who fucking puts, a goddamn Star of David with Hillary Clinton and says,
Yeah, and Sheldon Adelson is going to proudly march into the booth and put his mark right by Trump's name.
Well, Sheldon Adelson is Jewish by background. He doesn't give a fuck about being Jewish any more than fucking Kissinger did, who said
Sheldon Adelson loves Israel. He's all about it. He's all about Israel policy.
Israel isn't about Jews either. That's a white supremacist outpost in the Arab world. Let's get real. That shit is not about Jews. It was never about Jews. And if I want to be a real fucking moron and cite science right now, they just fucking came out with another fucking report showing how the Ashkenazim in Europe, of which I am, really don't have any Semitic fucking roots at all. That we can all be traced to three, if not four, fucking women who have more to do with southern Spain and North Africa than they fucking do with that part of the goddamn world. But in the meantime, how many Palestinians are being wiped out in the name of fucking Jewish freedom?
Right.
By people who got kicked out. If you really want to accept that these are the same fucking people genetically, they lost their goddamn country in 70 fucking AD to a European Roman fucking empirical force. But they decide, well, we're going to fucking reclaim it. In the meantime, they're going to fucking sit in Cleveland, sit in New York, sit in Philadelphia and Miami, and tell a Native American, you have no fucking right to tell me any goddamn thing. You don't even have a right to fucking exist. You don't exist any motherfucking more. Go back to your goddamn teepee. So, you know, supporting this motherfucking...
And lo and behold, most of the people saying that are saying it not because of any particular ethnic privilege. They're saying it because of wealth privilege.
They're saying it because they're white and they can fucking get away with it. Just like Hillary Clinton is white and can get away with calling fucking entire race of people super fucking predators. She can get away with promoting goddamn violence against black people, and then we're being told to fucking vote for her, and if we don't vote for her, we're being irresponsible. That's what I don't goddamn appreciate.
You know, during the course of this conversation, and, you know, we can get passionate and we can get frustrated. We can even disagree. Doesn't change my respect for you, nor I hope your respect for mine. But during the course of this conversation, Angry, you know, I said a few minutes ago that every 4 years was the most important election of our lifetime. I've been trying to think of any election in American history when it was not a binary choice between two so-called lessers of evils. And the only one I've really come up with is Eisenhower versus Adlai Stevenson.
I wouldn't exactly call Stevenson a friend to black people.
That was not the criterion I was using.
Yeah, I understand that. But see, I'm pushed at the wall now myself, and I got to start looking at things this way. I'm tired of being in the middle and thinking about white people's, you know, concerns too. If I'm looking at it as a black person, fuck Adlai Stevenson. Fuck them all, because, you know, being forced to
I was trying to make a point, to wit, that we don't have presidential elections in which there is, I mean, in which there's a clear-cut right and wrong. Both candidates are going to be wrong to one degree or another, and we're choosing the one we think is less wrong. And the American people cannot be counted on to get it right, Angry.
What do you mean they can't be counted on to get it right? They do what they want
to
do.
No, they can be counted on to get it wrong. Look at 1972. How much better off would we have been with George McGovern as president than Richard M. Nixon? What would that have done to the 1976 election? Ronald Reagan might never have made it to the scene. How many brown people in El Salvador and Greater Central America would still be alive if that had not happened?
Possibly. But like, what did I say about Kennedy? Kennedy was a cold warrior. You know, Jimmy Carter did his damage in South America and Africa. Who talks about that?
It's not a question of who talks about it. I'm trying to understand. I really am. I'm trying to understand how we get out, how there is some other alternative than the two we're being presented with in November.
Well, if we're not going to follow the rule of law, if we're not going to use common sense and say that we've been bullied into this position by the corporate media, by the corporate interests that own the goddamn DNC, and by white racism within the fucking DNC. Well, then we're never going to fix any goddamn thing. Can't have an answer.
And you know what? That might be the answer.
Start asking questions.
That might be the answer. We're not going to fix anything. That
might. As long as that stays in. And just because the country is getting browner doesn't mean it's going to be any better either. Because, you know, racism against black people in Mexico is just as goddamn bad as it is up here.
Wealth and power. Wealth and power is wealth and power. If skin tone played into that, every country run by a black man or woman in Africa would be a shining paragon of democracy, wouldn't it?
Well, no, because see, first off, we have to look at this. If we're really going to talk about this, we have to look at it carefully. What I'm talking about is not skin color. One of the things about, you know, the whole, you know, race issue in the United States is racism isn't even discussed as what it is. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's an ism. You know, ageism is not about attitudes. Attitudes are the result of the process of discriminating against people on age. Sexism, all of these things, you don't look at them as primary attitudes. You're usually, when you say sexism, such a, you're talking about a system. Well, when it comes to racism, no, we're going to identify racism as an attitude problem, not as a system of institutional goddamn, you know, marginalization. Because if we do, then we have to actually deal with it. So what I'm saying is, until you actually start talking, and I know I'm redundant, but I'm saying this because there is no answer when you don't even have anything to work with. Until white people, and I mean white people, I'll deal with black folks, but white people got to start dealing with their own fucking problems. Stop expecting me to fucking sit and get pissed on and keep marching while you don't do anything about your fucking bigots. And what I'm saying is, if white people are so fucking concerned, then start fucking really asking yourself in the DNC how you got to this goddamn point, and then you'll know how to fucking fix it. But if you're not going to fucking do that, and you're going to keep putting it on, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. If fucking Trump had called us super predators, do you think anybody in the DNC would let that go? But I'm being told to forget about it and hope that the next 4 years I'll be able to survive so I can make a better choice in the next election. The only answer is to actually be honest about how the fuck we got here. And nobody wants to talk about that except to say, well, it was fucked up.
Well, and that goes back to what I was saying about terrorism a little bit ago. You know, if you just try to keep bombing and stuff, you're never going to solve the problem. You have to look at yourself to find out the answers to why terrorism happens, and most people, most cultures don't want to do that because you look into some very, very terrifying places. As Carol Baker pointed out a little bit ago, she said, "Here's a thought on terrorism. Remember when the PLO and Sinn Féin conducted terrorist attacks with regularity, how that kind of stopped at some point? How about we go back and look at how that was accomplished and use that as a template? Or, you know, we can continue to bomb the fuck out of them until they stop, I guess."
I can tell you right now exactly how that fucking shit stopped. They sat down and had negotiations. They had secret negotiations. They didn't let the public know because both sides were worried about how their populations would react if they find out that they were doing peace with people who, you know, if you're a Palestinian, they run into your neighborhood, kill every goddamn buddy, Shabra and Shatila. How many fucking, you know, incidences can we look at like this? And for a lot of Jews, well, I had somebody who was beaten up by a Palestinian. I had a cousin that was killed by a Palestinian. My family was in the camps. So, you know, all of this bullshit as a justification for why they need to fuck each other up. So they had goddamn conferences. And after they, you know, were able to work out some of the goddamn bullshit, as they were fucking doing this, the violence subsided. And it only picked up again when the fucking IDF stepped into the fucking picture and decided to start shooting people. Okay, you already said this. Nobody in the fucking United States wants to really talk. Because when white people come to the table, the first thing is, I want what the fuck I want. We're going to speak English. We're going to fucking follow Christianity. And basically, I'm laying out what the rules are, and you're simply going to follow them. That's not a goddamn discussion. That's not a goddamn discussion. Black people, we can't go back to fucking Africa. We don't know where the fuck we came from. We've lost every fucking thing. We've been stripped of every goddamn thing. I'm lucky being gullah that I have an idea of where the fuck I come from. But we know motherfucking nothing. We've invested ourselves in this goddamn place by force. We've been fighting.
No, since Frederick, Christmas, you know, Frederick Douglass said it very, very well. He told Lincoln, "I'm not going back to Africa. This is my country."
So it's absolutely true.
I mean, no, the history is what the history is, and it's a history of people who have built this country and damned well deserve and damned well should be acknowledged for their contribution. But we have a political system in which extremes rule.
Yeah, but
so we're back to where we started. We got a choice between a guy who is right next door to being an outright Nazi in the form of the Republican nominee, and we've got a deeply flawed globalist corporatist center right candidate running as a Democrat, and that's the choice.
Used to be full of members of the goddamn Klan. So what history are we really talking about? This is what the fuck I'm talking about. You know, I understand that the average American citizen, but we're not even having a real fucking discussion about that either. I'm really sick and tired of hearing about the American people. There is no such goddamn thing. If you got a bunch of fucking people coming from different goddamn places in the fucking world, from different languages and fucking cultures and religions, and then they've been here for one goddamn generation, that's not a fucking people. And that's exactly why this bullshit is the way it goddamn is. There is no one fucking culture here. There is no one motherfucking unifying thing. People came in here because of historical fucking changes. And a whole lot of white people who had nothing in Europe fucking came over here and fucking took from every goddamn buddy else. And until we start having that goddamn discussion, the DNC can talk all the fuck it wants about, well, we got no choice, or what else can we do? You know, we're kind of stuck with this. Well, it's a system that you made. It's a system that benefits you and was meant to fucking benefit you.
No argument. No argument.
You can make arguments, or white people should be making the argument, as they did in Shay's Rebellion, about, well, which white people are okay and why certain white people are not fucking okay. Let's be honest.
And how'd that play out?
You know, that was an Irishman who led that bullshit. The scary thing wasn't so much that he was a white guy to lead this rebellion. I mean, yeah, that was bad. But it was the idea that he could fucking get the natives and the black people on the same goddamn plantation to follow him.
And let's remember that it was out of Shay's Rebellion and the terror that presented to the power structure in New England. That's when Thomas Jefferson wrote down those immortal words that devil us to this day, that the tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. Thomas Jefferson said that about Shay's Rebellion, and it horrified the founders and framers up in New England. Because, you know, here's a slave-owning Virginian saying, yeah, you know, if they'll kill a few of you people up there once in a while, maybe it'll keep you honest.
Yeah, but he's worried about his land, keeping his slaves, and keeping his social status. When he was asked in France how the fuck you could keep your son as your slave, he said, hey, I'm an American. Of course I can keep my son as my slave. And they said, yeah, well, we fuck our goddamn, you know, servants too, but we treat our fucking offspring better than you do. And he was embarrassed.
Right, and that's why I raised it. You know, thus the hypocrisy. But I feel like I'm further from an answer than I'm further from an answer than I've ever been.
Well, one of the problems
because there aren't any.
You know, and Americans look for one, you know, magic answer to every goddamn thing. So if we do this, then this will go away. Or if we do this, then this will happen. If we pray, the rain will goddamn come. You know, all of this bullshit. Instead of asking yourself, you know, we're good for telling, and we talked about this before, we're good for sitting men down and saying, well, wait a minute. You don't have a right to be violent. I don't give a fuck how you feel. You don't have a right to be violent. And if we're being progressive, we'll say, okay, you don't have a right to be violent, but we need to understand why you're violent so that we can address that, so that we can kind of turn this around. If America's not willing to do that with itself, instead of trying to cop out with bullshit like, oh, the American people, there is no motherfucking American people. You go to
China,
that's why I've said
for years on end, and even I know I'll get some pushback over what the ultimate outcome of it was. The American people do not have the guts to sit down and have, you know, something like a Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Well, why? Because then you ask if you have to take responsibility for what you did. But even with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa, and I have to say it like this, white people loved it because nobody was held responsible. White society was not held responsible. Individual white people were held responsible. Pick Botha walked away with a fucking Peace Prize, didn't he? Oh, no, not big. Was it Pick Bolter or whoever the fuck it was that got that shit with Mandela? Because, you know, they always, like with Kissinger, when he got his with Lee Duck Toe, you know, they can't give it to him by himself, right?
Yeah.
You know, so because you saved, you know, white society, basically, from completely goddamn collapsing, we'll give you a fucking Nobel Peace Prize, which is why Obama got one before he even did any goddamn thing, because they knew what his role was, just as he did. He knew what the fuck he was doing. I'm a goddamn Uncle Tom. I know when I've gotten a lot, hell of a lot of jobs, it was because, well, he'll be able to control the niggas. We can't send the white, you know, foreman down there because they'll give him talk back, you know, and they'll push and they'll slow down and then we'll lose money. He'll control the niggas. And when I realized what the fuck was going on, I got indignant. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, every time there's a labor dispute, you fucking send me down there. But when the white guys have a labor dispute, you send this cat. and a whole bunch of bullshit. Like, I said, no, you know what? And I took the paperwork from this guy. I said, I'm going to go talk to them, and you can go talk to these fellas. And they wouldn't let me get out the office. This is what I'm talking about. Fucking denial. Fucking denial. I'm saying that the white people in the goddamn DNC that are telling black, I'm not talking about you, but who are telling black folks, well, we got no choice, are people who don't have a problem with niggas being called super predators. And they don't have a problem with mass incarceration.
There's a flip side to that coin. Because I was on the receiving end of some of it. Because during the primary process, especially in the South, we were asking questions about why it is that the so-called black community was so solidly for Hillary Clinton. And couldn't they understand, because my God, you know, white privilege, I mean, I acknowledge it. And sometimes I step right in the middle of it. But, you know, why couldn't they understand that Bernie's issues would be much better for them?
Yeah, well, I told you earlier, the CBC and a bunch of other goddamn Beyonce-type motherfuckers and Oprah types went down there because I know this. I'm part of the motherfucking community. I'm gullah. I got people in fucking South Carolina. They went down. They flooded those motherfucking neighborhoods and town halls and fucking pool halls. It was just how I first got a lot of this information. And I was like, that sounds like the cat was being paid from what you're telling me. They're just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, Hillary's done this and she's done that. And Sanders, who the fuck is socialist, man? That sounds like that communist shit that they was talking back in the 70s. Man, you're saying this to people who already don't know what the fuck Karl Marx was about to even hate it. What you're talking about is something I've been dealing with my entire fucking life as a fucking organizer and as an activist, trying to get people. I'm writing a fucking paper right now. Because somebody's been challenging me on Twitter talking about AIDS doesn't exist. After I fucking
when you respond to somebody like that, and I'm not in the advice business, but I'll go there for this minute. When you're responding to somebody like that, that really is casting pearls before swine. If there's somebody out there who says AIDS doesn't exist, you know, there is no chart, there is no graph. There is no perfectly constructed, crafted, honed paragraph or series of them that's going to change that idiot's mind.
Oh, well, it will. But see, you got to understand something. If I'm talking to a white person, I mean, somebody who's reasonable, some education, I can make an argument. But the black community is in a particular position. We've been experimented on since slavery. We've had entire populations in the Native American community because the federal government just started admitting this. Because they had to admit that what they were doing in Puerto Rico and Guatemala, because they were sued in international court for this. We have been experimented on. Tuskegee is just the tip of the motherfucking iceberg. Two generations of Native women were sterilized here through the Indian fucking health service. So when we go to the goddamn doctor, we're fucking suspicious. Now, the only thing that I'll say about AIDS in terms of a conspiracy in Africa was it was just really inadvertent timing. You had polio vaccine trials going on in the Belgian Congo because they can experiment on black folks, right? So, you know, the Belgians said, yeah, go ahead and do this. Now, while that was going on, in my research, I found out recently looking at European records that they were actually reusing the needles and they were not sterilizing the needles with bleach solutions or anything else in between clients. So while they're doing these, this testing, they're also giving out, smallpox inoculations and everything else that they were doing in Africa at that time to try to eradicate the disease, but they were sharing needles. So what this ended up doing was it started spreading the fucking disease because you had a Newport system that was built. The British and the Belgians collaborated on a railway line, and that's how the disease spread. It actually came from bushmeat. I don't give a fuck what the black community, the radicals have to say. You know, simian foamy virus is the precursor to HIV. Almost damn near all fucking primates, even in captivity, have this. And some develop AIDS and some do not. And evidently, this eventually leaked its way into the human population through bushmeat. And yes, I know a lot of people have told me I'm full of shit, but I'm sorry. These things happen. These things happen. Biology is weird. These things happen. But because we've been experimenting on already, no black child grows up in the United States and doesn't know about Tuskegee. every time we go to the doctor, I'm in my fucking 50s. Every time I go to the doctor and they give me a shot of take blood, I'm fucking terrified. Because I don't know. I don't know if this doctor's a goddamn bigot or not. I don't know if this motherfucker has a secret goddamn agenda or not. We've been abused by doctors. So when I'm trying to talk to somebody about HIV prevention and what AIDS is and what it isn't, and they have that in their mind, that's what I'm dealing with, not simple ignorance. I'm dealing with somebody that has a reason to fucking be afraid of a doctor, that has a reason to be afraid of, well, I'll give you another example. In doing research for this, I found several goddamn clinical papers talking about the racism of doctors and nurses actually fucking kills minorities in this country because we don't get the same fucking care. And they're sloppy when they do take care of us. And we are not as likely to leave the hospital as you are under the same conditions. So, you know, until we have a discussion about all of this, you know, that problem in terms of, you know, AIDS being, you know, as bad as it is in the black community here and in Africa. I mean, we got the same goddamn AIDS rates in Atlanta and D.C. as there are in Kenya. How does that make any sense in the United States if white people who have influence, who say that they care, where are all these Democrats then? Because, you know, you can't count on Republicans, right? So where are all these people? This is what I'm saying. You know, we're not having any of these discussions. And then when Hillary Clinton comes around, well, we have to vote for her, but we don't know how we got it like this, and what can we do? Well, if you're not going to talk about what I just mentioned, for example, and you don't understand, you know, the connections between the Clinton Foundation, for example, and what she's about, the TPP and medical fucking abuse and exploitation, her pushing fracking, and you're talking about environmental hazards, environmental racism in terms of killing black people in this country, where you have entire communities all along the eastern seaboard called Cancer Row, where the black and poor whites live. If we're not going to talk about that and then say, well, the American people, and we need to get it together and, you know, deal with the system that we have, I mean, that can only go but so goddamn far. At what point do the rest of us get looked at in terms of being a part of that answer? And like I said, I'm not talking about you, but we are not a part of that answer. I just keep hearing about all of us. But if it's not all of us now, why should I expect it's going to be all of us afterwards?
When has it ever been?
It hasn't. So, yeah, you know, this is what I'm saying. People of color need them, really, in some ways. And I have argued on this show and on my own against this. I used to say we got to be a part of the process. We have to be a part of the process. We have to understand it and be a part of it. I've been saying that, and then Dallas happened. And then the feedback I'm getting from people. Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group.
Well,
anybody that supports Black Lives Matter,
I'm sorry,
Matter,
I'm sorry, angry, but
cops.
anybody who says that, I look and I go, oh, well, look, another idiot. How about that?
Yeah,
I just found an idiot on the internet in America. Well, I'll be dipped.
Yeah, but see, but that idiot can do like that woman that you can go on YouTube and find the goddamn video who told that black West Indian fucking postal worker, I will turn the white people against you. And he's like, why would you do that? Because he gave her a registered letter that she signed for and realized what it was and tried to give it back. And when he said, I can't do that, the federal law says that once I've released the mail and you've signed for it, it's your property. She assaulted him on goddamn camera. And then said, I will turn the white people against you because I can.
Fools.
That's why I'm not fucking supporting Hillary Clinton.
Idiots. Yeah.
I'm not. They got power, see? So they can be idiots. But and like I said, you know, you can be a racist in terms of having, you know, fucked up attitudes and adhering to or believing in a system of racial marginalization. But being a bigot, which is really what you are, right? Anybody can be a bigot. I could be bigoted against whatever. But without power, it doesn't make me racist. I don't have the power to do any goddamn thing. Now, you can have a situation, because I've actually seen this, where a Latino family, they were from somewhere in South America, refused to rent to a white couple because they were gay. And they ended up going to court, and they lost their case and all that kind of shit because they were claiming religious whatever the fuck. But I got into a verbal with somebody who supported them, and I said, you know, that was actually racist. Oh, man, what the fuck? You backing white people now? I said, no, I'm not backing white people. But they really didn't want them in there because they were white. They didn't find out that they were gay until several days later.
You know, I had a conversation.
That's racism. Because you got the power to do something.
I had a conversation with, you're talking about being afraid of doctors? I had a conversation with a physician today. And for some reason or another, because he's right-wing and he knows that I'm the so-called left.
You take chances,
Bob. He enjoys, you know, a little badinage, as it were. And he was explaining to me how, as a libertarian Republican, he's very live and let live. And he says, you know, I can deal with gay marriage as long as they're not getting married in my synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, but what about let's say there's a reformed one that says it's okay for two Jewish guys to get married in the synagogue. Well, that's just wrong. You know, it's the old joke where the two guys are standing on are standing together, and one says, "You know, I'm a Baptist." And the other guy goes, "How about that? I'm a Baptist too." He goes, "Free will?" He goes, "Absolutely, free will. You too? Yeah. Free will reformed? Yeah, free will reformed. Free will reformed Baptist? Premillennialist? Oh, no, free will reformed postmillennialist. Die, heretic!" We're gonna wind up killing ourselves over nuance, and we will be screaming how right we were with the last breath that we take. When in fact, any given individual, most of them, will say that they just want to live their lives. It's when you start to drill down that you find out how they simply want to live their lives is problematic. I want to live my life in a nice little white town full of white people. I don't want to see any coloreds. Right?
Well, yeah, because that's what they want, you know. And hey, if that's the way you feel, then if you have the means, pick the fuck up and go to Sweden somewhere, you know, and try to live your goddamn life that way. You know, if that's what you really fucking want.
Or maybe open your eyes, your mind, and your heart, live where you are, and find out that it can be pretty damn sweet.
Yeah, but you got to share them, Bob. And you can't be the center. You can't go through central fucking position, right? African Genesis. You can't go through central fucking position and do that. You have to realize that you have to fucking share things. You know, my wife was an only child. I had brothers and sisters. And, you know, there's a big difference sometimes in our personalities because she never had to share anything as a child, right? I didn't have a goddamn thing of my own. Everything had to be shared. You know, bath water, every motherfucking thing. We didn't have that much. So, you know, it has a lot to do with how you fucking see things. But when it comes to the United States is built on greed. What you were talking about Jefferson earlier. I mean, the whole point of the notes on the state of Virginia, other than saying that black people, you will never be able to breed the nigger out of them, was that white people, white males with education, should be in charge.
Because that was the model that had been passed down to them for the last, ever since we stopped fighting with the buzzards for what the wolves didn't want.
It would be the model of any invader. I don't give a fuck whether they're black, white, or green. If you're in Africa and you have another group that has imposed itself upon a people, let's look at Rwanda, for example, and what happened when white people left. But let's also admit to ourselves that before white people got there, there were divisions. Before white people got there, there was exploitation of one group or another.
Yeah, that's one of the dangers of the so-called noble savage theory. You know, this continent was not a pristine place of absolute perfection. I was contemplating, thinking, whatever, last night when I read the story about Chaco Canyon being blown the hell up And believe you me, that infuriated me. I mean, I can't conceptualize. I cannot conceive the idea where you get to frack next to something as precious, as fragile, and as important to our understanding of ourselves as the Anasazi structures in Chaco Canyon. Okay, but then I took it a step further, angry. The climate changed during the time, and you know what? Chaco Canyon and that culture was successful longer than we've been successful, than white people have been successful on this continent, okay? Or white and black people. I mean, you know, it has been a collaborative effort, even if the power structures have been unequal. But they were successful for a very long time, and then their climate changed on them. And they screwed themselves out of their own civilization, okay? Look a little further down into the Central American jungles where the Mayan city-states arose, and they completely deforested their own land in order to have the wood to burn the limestone to create the lime to paint their pyramids white. And the next thing you know, the civilization collapses. You've got collapse of civilization at Cahokia for reasons that have not been entirely sorted out yet. Civilizations arose and then they fell, tradition, culture after culture after culture, in and around coastal Mexico into the Valley of Mexico. And by the time that the Akolwa of Texcoco had arisen, and they were, you know, they were the most knowledgeable civilization in that Valley of Mexico area. The only thing that they could say about the pyramid at Teotihuacan was that it was built by the Toltecatl, which just means, if I recall correctly, the great artists.
Yeah, they didn't remember. You know,
they had no idea. So no. You know, we have to be careful with these ideas that somebody out there just gets it right. I mean, the Japanese deforested the home islands until they looked up and said, we're going to stop that, and we're going to make a conscious decision to stop that. And they did it by exploiting someone else. And that's the game. You know, who gets exploited next?
Yeah, so that's what
I'm
saying.
And the only hope humanity has is if we try finally by fits and starts, and we may not have time. We may run out of time if we can figure out a way to work cooperatively instead of exploitatively. But the problem with that is you're going to have to go back to capitalism, and you're going to have to say, this economic model seems to be predicated upon nothing but exploitation.
Yeah. So again, whether it's Europeans who basically got really good at it, all right? You look at the Romans, you look at the Reconquista, they figured out how to systematically do this. The Crusades, they've had a history of doing this. But you have, the largest ethnic group in the United States right now is Latino. Do you think that the racism against Africans is going to subside? It's already happening. The FBI broke up two groups in California in the 90s that were planning to remove all of the black people from Southern California. So when they come in, capitalism, yeah, of course. But the main fucking thing, whether it's capitalism or even socialism, you know, for an example, if one group is exploiting another, we're going to be in the same goddamn position that we're in. Because all of the societies that you mentioned, and I blooded out Rapa Nui earlier, or Easter Island or what have you, One of the main constants that comes down with the collapse of all of these societies is that they got materialistic. And they got materialistic, and a small minority controlled everything, made all of the decisions, and had the majority of the material wealth. So if that's not teaching anybody anything, I don't know what the fuck will. And I want to tell you this before we go, because this is just coming across the Twitter right now. Dr. Cornel West has left the Sanders camp and is now backing Jill Stein. And the Hill is reporting that nearly half of millennial supporters of Bernie are considering backing candidate Dr. Jill Stein.
Well, good for them. It's their future. It's their future. It's not mine.
Yeah, but hold up for a second, though. Did the DNC consider this? If they're not going to adopt what he was fighting for, or at least making arguments for, did they really not think that somebody was going to fucking go somewhere else? You talked about alternatives. That was an alternative. Now, just because you don't, or you're not seeing it as an alternative, or maybe not accept it, or whatever, you know, to accept the binary thing as what it is, this is the universal thing, and we're stuck with that. She is running.
Yep, she is not going to be president.
Well, hey, they said the same thing about Sanders, but yet we were all supporting Sanders anyway, right?
Yeah, that was a primary.
No, I'm saying we were supporting him from the beginning when they were saying that there was no possible way.
Right, but you do that in a primary because a primary is the time where you bring your political ideals to the fore and you let them guide you.
No, hold up, brother Bob. What I'm saying is from the very fucking moment the man said that he was in it, nobody was talking about primary yet. They already said in the DNC he can't win. They were talking about O'Malley and Clinton. They said that he couldn't win. Then the people spoke, and then they realized that they had a goddamn problem. Right. So this is why I'm saying the people didn't fucking choose Hillary Clinton at all. The DNC chose Hillary Clinton, and they're pretending, like the Zionist goddamn lobby, that every fucking Jew in the world is behind them when that's not the case.
Well,
the
for all intents and purposes, Angry, 2 million people chose Hillary Clinton. Or 3 million people chose Hillary Clinton. 1.9 million of those people were in the Confederacy. Okay?
Which doesn't surprise me. Hillary Clinton's a conservative. Why does that surprise anybody? She said that I'm a conservative. I was a Goldwater girl. My mother-in-law doesn't believe that she was a Goldwater girl. She thinks I'm making that up. She thinks it's a lie. I can't convince her otherwise. She doesn't want to hear it. But why wouldn't conservatives support Hillary Clinton? Right. Conservative Democrats have always supported Hillary Clinton.
And the South is a bastion of... black or white, the South is a bastion of
conservative thinking.
Of conservative thinking among Democrats.
So what this really means is, and what we really should be asking ourselves is, as we go out of here, is that when we look at what's happened in India with Modi, we look at what happened with Duarte, who's threatening every poor person in the Philippines. We see the far right winning in every fucking election. And if they don't win the election like they did in Brazil, they'll just fucking have a soft coup and take the motherfucking country over. Okay, we saw that in Honduras. How many coups has this administration seen in 8 years? So in almost 8 years. So until we start talking about these things, talking about what to do about this is moot. It's moot. If we're not going to talk about exploitation, we're not going to talk about empire. And we're not going to talk about the quiet racism within the DNC and sexism for that matter, because they're saying that, well, I've already heard it. Well, England is on their second, female prime minister. It's Hillary's turn. It's Hillary's turn.
Yeah,
that
just makes me run screaming into the night. I didn't know we had a turn-based presidency.
You know, May is anti-Palestinian. She's anti-poor people. She's anti-union. She's everything that we are against, supposedly. But even the Labor Party, the conservative labor punks over there, are supporting Theresa May.
Yeah, I need a lesson on civics in the UK. I have yet to figure out how you wind up getting to be prime minister without having an election, but I guess it's just like maybe the vice president becomes president if the president resigns.
It's called having a parliament. It's called having a real civil, political climate. Now, not to say that they don't cheat and there's not a whole lot of nastiness, but, in England, this as well as, if not better than I do. They've had a rough political history. So after a while, they just realized that there's better ways to do things. I mean, many people here pointed out, especially William Buckley, who I told you, like or not, I respected. Didn't agree with him, but respected him because at least you knew what you were dealing with. He said that if Bush had any kind of goddamn gumption, he would have stepped down because no European leader would ever have remained in office. They would have left already for the good of the party. They would have stepped down. Cameron said, okay, this happened. I'm gone. That's it. Iceland still doesn't have a goddamn government, if I remember correctly. Luxembourg is still having a dodgy one, too. They don't feel that they need one. They got parliament. Everybody's being fed. You know, some of these Scandinavian countries.
Lights are still on. Trains are still running. Yeah, sure. Hey, you know, Angry, I gotta get out of here though. It is 3 minutes till.
All right. So, hey, everybody, if you can support this show so you can hear conversations like this, because you're not going to goddamn hear this on C-SPAN. And Fox, you're not going to hear a fucking thing. You're not going to hear anyone like Bob Kincaid on Fox News or anything else that's paid for by Colton
Shields.
Oh,
you had to mention Fox. Now I've got it. That loop's back in my head going, you wearing panties? I hope not.
Well, all you know, I'm cool with sex talk, man. I completely dig it. But, you know, panty talk on Fox and goddamn talking about the size of hands and shit with Trump, you know, that's not what the fuck we need. We need real radio. So go ahead on radio.com and make a donation if you can afford it. Peace.
Amen. Thanks, Angry. And thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly to Leola. Leola in PA. Thank you for jumping in there. And thank you to A. Nani Mouse. That means we will have an $80 deficit to solve tomorrow for Friday on the Front Porch. $280 tomorrow. Thank you very kindly, A. Nani Mouse and Leola. It is much obliged, much appreciated. Thanks, Asa. Different Asa. We've got multiple Asas. How many radio networks can say that, huh? We've got multiple Asas. Asa pointing out that, no, it was not Pick Botha. It was F.W. de Klerk in South Africa. That Angry was, yeah, right, exactly. Thank you. Under the subject line, us and them, ad infinitum, Steve writes, can't wait for that day in a not-too-distant future when the demographic balance tilts at last to a non-Caucasoid majority. Paradise on Earth at last. Or does this view make me a racist? Or try this. Would you be willing to give up the medical miracle destined to make us immortal so long as your children and their children might live in peace? And who, after all, would have access to the technology? Man as machine labors. Regards, Steve in China. And that's it for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.